Are they a chapter in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now these wasn't Jews. These are heathens. These are barbarians. Amen. If you want to talk out loud back there, shut that door. Amen. They believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh that he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Amen. Listen to this. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Did you hear it? Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Well, now, they was a bunch of heathen, and they had a lot of different kind of beasts even than Jews would have. Amen. The dog had to wear sackcloth. The donkey had to wear sackcloth. Old cow had to wear sackcloth. Amen. You talk about sackcloth coming in style. It was in style in Nineveh. Amen. You think folks is fanatic because they teach on dress? I'll tell you about a day when sackcloth's going to come back in style for preachers. God's last three preachers, amen, in this world before the millennium starts, will prophesy 3.5 years in the streets of Jerusalem clothed with sackcloth. There's a message in this library somewhere that says, back to the sack. Amen. Sackcloth going to come back in style after a while. Whew, glory to God. No two-piece double breast, three-piece double breast, no modern three-button jobs, amen, with a white shirt and necktie. Sackcloth! Amen. The garments of mourning. Amen. Louise Nankerville prayed through to God's miracle-working power with a vow that she would preach in sackcloth the rest of her day. She did. She wore a toe sack mantle, skirt, dress. Amen. Every time she preached, laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Amen. That was Assembly of God 50 years ago, folks. Amen. Well, not quite 50, 46, 7 years ago. Amen. Amen. I remember when everybody was wholeness. I remember when all denominations was wholeness. I remember when Oral Roberts said in Memphis, Tennessee in 1950, when a lady asked her if she was going to go to church, and she said yes, and he said, what kind of church? And she said, a holiness church. She just got healed. He said, it looked like holiness is coming back in style. He was holiness then. Amen. Glory to God. Ah, yes, you think we're fanatical? People get the mourning enough, they get exceeding fanatical. Listen to this heathen king. Listen, now this is not Jonah preaching now. This is a heathen king making a proclamation to his subjects. He said, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way, even the heathen know right from wrong. And from the violence that is in their hands. Amen. And listen to what he said. Who can tell? That's my text this morning. Who can tell?
Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works.
You don't think works are important?
God saw their works. That they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said and he would do unto them, and he did it not. They changed the mind of God.
With fasting and crying mightily to God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Who can tell the words of a heathen king? Amen. No promise. Not one promise. The only positive thing they had was that you're going to be destroyed. Didn't have any other promise. Amen. Not one encouraging word from their preacher. Tearing through the streets of Nineveh, the only preacher they had. Amen. They couldn't get preacher religion. Amen. Say, I like this and I like that. They just had one. And he smelled fishy. Amen. You would too if you'd been swallowed by a whale and seaweeds had wrapped you around your neck. When God turned you loose, you hit the ground running. Praise God, the seaweeds are flying in the air. You didn't get aired out real good, praise God, until you got to preaching in the streets of Nineveh. Phew! Amen. No positive message for them. Not one thing to grab a hold to. Not one thing. I'm telling you, we got 66 books and a Bible and a Bible in every room and still can't seem to claim the promises of God. We got preachers, praise God, figuratively speaking, amen, running out our ears, amen. Every airway was chock full of preachers. You can find one any time of the day or night if you want one. And still can't seem to believe God. Come on. Not one glimpse of the light of hope in all Jonah's preaching. Not one. Pure negativity. Pure doom, pure gloom, pure perdition. Amen. Nothing to look forward to in Nineveh. How do you like that? I mean, no preacher slapping you on the back, encouraging nobody, telling you you got a chance, you can make it, not a one. The wild-eyed, fanatical, fishy-smelling preacher that tells this hair-raising story about being swallowed by a whale and Lord only knows what else. An unlikely prophet, if you please. He didn't even hardly speak their language. Huh? This wasn't a Ninevite that was preaching to them. Amen. An unseemly, smelly Jew with an accent, if you please. A hesitant, neglectful, unwilling preacher chastened to death's door, and he only came after God twisted his arms so far up behind his back he almost broke it. He came with the fires of hell licking at his heels. That's the only reason he went. But he was all they had. Nowadays, if we don't like one fellow, we just go down the street, find one that suits our fancy. It may be well and good, it's a free country, but your fancy may not save you. Your fancy may not help you none. Amen. Listen! An unlikely prophet like Jonah and an impossible congregation. Impossible congregation. They had gone too far. Amen. Too far. Richard, they couldn't help them. They couldn't be helped. They had gone too far. God's going to destroy the city. It's too late. An impossible congregation gone too far. I'll tell you what the impossible congregation needs. They need the right man.
They may not want him, but they need him. They might not even vote him in, but they need him. Hallelujah, the right man. Get along to this. No advertisement. No half-page ads. No little bitty page ads in religion. Wasn't no religious page in Nineveh. None. No pulpit. No churches. Nobody invited him for revival. No forerunner to say this is a good man. Even Jesus had a forerunner. Even Jesus needed a forerunner. Why do you need a forerunner? Ah, great God, he had to do a great work in a short time. He needed somebody to put him in the hearts of the people. And John was that man. Ordained from his mother's womb. Forerunner. Many a preacher just needs a forerunner. Hallelujah, they're very important, but Jonah didn't even have a forerunner. He didn't even have an evangelistic team. There was nobody going along carrying music with them. Nobody had an accordion, an organ, or a piano, or a portable harp, or nothing else. No talent. Most of our churches have turned into an entertainment center. And the poor preacher's got to continually pull new rabbits out of the hat to entertain his congregation. Why? Because if you win people by entertainment, then you got to keep a better group coming all the time. I mean, some of them can't exist if we ain't got a former baseball star, football star, drug addict, jailbird, bless God, or something worse, coming through to preach. We've got to continually be thrilled and enthralled and entertained. We've got to have the Grand Ole Opry and every shindig in the country sail across the platform in order to keep the runner of the run-of-the-mill John Doe Christian entertained in church. Amen. But the amazing thing about it is the king believed God. It helps sometimes to get the pastor saved. Hallelujah. The king believed God. Hallelujah. It helps sometimes to get the mayor saved. Only church I ever pastored I had the mayor of the town in was Alto Pass, Illinois. And Roy Hickam was the mayor of the town and also trustee on the board. Amen. At Alto Pass, Illinois. We had a wonderful time. We fished together. We hunted together and enjoyed the move of God together and good things of God together. It's good to have the mayor of the town on the team. Well, praise God. Jonah's message got through somehow. And the Bible said the unthinkable happened. The king, that's the mayor of Nineveh. The mayor, the king, believed God. Hallelujah. He believed God. He didn't just say, I believe God. I believe he's telling the truth. Old Jonah's got the message. He didn't just say, hey, that's good preaching. He done what he had to do. Jonah didn't give them any hope. He didn't tell them, if you'll fast and pray and seek God, you'll be saved. He didn't tell them that. There wasn't any promise. But the king believed that in a certain amount of time, Nineveh was going to be destroyed. And he proclaimed a fast. Whew. It might have been an enforced fast, but it worked. The king proclaimed the fast. Woo. Let neither man nor beast eat or drink water. Babies crying everywhere. That's what he wanted. He wanted God to hear them babies crying. Calves are bawling everywhere. That's what he wanted. He wanted God to hear them cows bawling.
Amen. Donkeys braying everywhere, starving to death for a drink of water. That's what he wanted. He wanted God to hear them donkeys braying because God created them too. Dogs are howling and they wasn't howling at the moon. That's what he wanted. And a great cry went up to Nineveh. In fact, one of the commands of the king was cry mightily to God. My God, what a cry. Suddenly all the people of Nineveh lost their pride. Suddenly all the people of Nineveh lost their haughtiness. Suddenly all the people of Nineveh wiped the paint off their face and jerked the ornaments off their ears, bless God, and jerked the calls and tinkling armaments and round towers like the moon off, glory to God, and put on sackcloth and cried mightily to God. I like that. Hallelujah. Today when our people, a generation growing up in the Pentecostal church, Pentecostal highway of holiness is no less characteristic. A generation growing up in highway of holiness, they pray. Afraid somebody will hear them pray. One fellow told me, he said, if I pray out loud, he said, I'm annoyed at my own voice. Well, just go ahead and get annoyed. Bless your sweet heart. Amen. Get annoyed until you get used to it. Hallelujah. Cry mightily to God. Listen to this. Hallelujah. God saw their works. God chose to open the door to the Gentiles. He picked out a fellow by the name of Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts that couldn't even bring his offering into the temple and give it to the priest. He had to stack it up on the outside. He piled it up on the outside till the pile got so high it began to fall over the wall, and God saw it. You! This Gentile dog in the eyes of the Jews, praise God, the Bible said he was a devout man and prayed night and day. Glory to God. And you know what God said to him? Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial to God. Amen. Oh, glory. God saw his works too. Somebody said, works don't save you. One fellow could give 10 reasons why Cornelius wasn't saved. Bless God, even in spite of all his works, but he would not have been handpicked without them either. God didn't choose a stingy gut to open the door to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. He chose a generous man. Praise God. God didn't choose a tightwad to open the door to the Gentile. Hallelujah. God didn't choose a man with prayerless lips to open the door to the Gentiles. Bless your sweetheart. He chose one, bless God, that is already on the right track, that had the right spirit, whose heart beat to the tune of heaven. He was already marching to distant drums. Thank God. Oh, God saw his works. Hallelujah. In this day, bless your sweetheart, of works, grace plus nothing, no works, no works, no works. Swindoll preached about we're saved without works, grace plus nothing one day, and then turn around the very next day and try to preach holiness. One day I'm hollering at him over the radio. I'm saying, lie, lie, out loud, right in the house while he's preaching. The next day I said, well, I'll say, he's talking out of the other side of his mouth. Hey, you can only preach no works and grace plus nothing so long. And you got such a rotten congregation that's living so long. Amen. That you got to preach a little holiness after a while. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2:14 almost says the same thing.
praise God, and find it right quick. Amen. Joel. Hallelujah. I'll find it here in a minute. I should have marked it for go read. Praise God. Hey. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2, verse 14. And he says, after telling about the judgment that God's about to bring on the earth in that awful hour. Therefore we begin with verse 12. Also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Where did they learn that from? Well, they learned it from Jonah and Nineveh, praise God. And some of the works of God down through the ages. That's one reason Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He knew God was a merciful God. And God might change his mind. And you know what? He didn't want them to be saved. He didn't want... I mean, you talk about an unlikely prophet. He didn't want them to be saved. But here's a bunch that's got a prophet. His name is Joel. Amen. And he said, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. He changes his mind. Repenteth means he changes his mind. And sometimes he don't destroy people, even though he decreed that he would. Hallelujah. That's embarrassing to a preacher. When a man like Jonah tears through the town with his life in his hand, without fires of hell licking at his heels, telling God's going to destroy this city for its wickedness, and then God changes his mind and he don't do it. That's embarrassing. That makes the preacher look like a false prophet. Jonah didn't want that. It was embarrassing when Isaiah said to Hezekiah, set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. And he didn't even get home. Praise God, though God said, turn around and go tell him, I'm going to give him 15 more years. I've seen his tears. I've heard his cry. Praise God. And just to prove it, ask him if he'd like a sign from heaven. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. And he said, just tell God which you'd like to see, the sun go forward or backwards. So he said, it's already going forward. I'd like to see it go backwards 10 degrees. And God shifted the whole universe into reverse, put the brakes on, and nothing fell off. You talk about a double-barreled, multi-barreled whammy. Praise God. You talk about a miracle when God turned the universe back. Praise God, 10 degrees. Whew, the scientists found it years later. Said, we got 40 years missing here. 40 minutes missing here. Praise God. Somebody got the Bible out, glory to God, and saw in the Bible where it had been turned back 10 degrees, and they figured it out. Praise God, and it figured out 20 minutes each way. Hallelujah. It turned back 20 minutes to get back, and 20 minutes to get back where it was. 40 minutes missing, praise God. They found it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Embarrassing for Isaiah to go back and tell Hezekiah, you're going to live and not die. Just told him you're going to die and not live. 15 more years? Hey, 15 more years to live. 15 more years to serve God. 15 more years to pray. 15 more years. 15 years. That's longer than Jesus preached. That's longer than John the Baptist preached. Hey, that's longer than some preachers preached. 15 years he got. A whole 15 years. God changed his mind. Now he said, Rend your heart, not your garment. Turn to the Lord your God. He's given them promise now. He's merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing? Who knoweth? Who can tell? If we do a good enough job. Hallelujah. Last weekend I challenged you to build a fire. The Highway of Holiness Church. And you did. But I could tell by the hands that was raised and the people that committed themselves, it wasn't even half the congregation. I'll stand up here watching. Oh, I know there's a bunch of you say, well, I won't do what I do in secret. I'll tell you what you did to nothing. Amen. The reason you didn't want nobody to know, you didn't do nothing. Because it don't hurt. We're not getting out on the street corner of Hamilton when we're raising hands among church family. We're not getting out on the street corner in Hamilton when we're making pledges, amen, to do something for the house of God and the church family. There's a big difference. We've got an exalted position. We've got an exalted attitude about our position many times. Amen. You have to keep secret what you do among the church family. Somebody needs to lead the way and set the example, and others need to follow. You know how so many people are against pledging and against fasting and saying you're going to fast right in the church family? Because they ain't going to do nothing. Praise God. And they don't want nobody to know it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The power of God fell, but it's not the success we had that is a watermark so much as is what could have been if everybody had sought God like they should. What could have been if they'd have done like Nineveh? What could have been? Hey, is a few fasted and it's like Churchill after the Battle of Britain, and a few volunteer airmen from the United States and a few British airmen with what few airplanes they could scrape together. Amen, saved a Britain probably from the juggernaut with the prayers of the saints. Reese Howells and others was praying. And Churchill stood at the end of the battle with Britain still intact. And he said, never did so many owe so much to so few. And usually it's that faithful few that grab a hold and won't turn loose. But what if we could get everybody participating? What if we could get every boy and girl participating, however small? What if we could get everybody participating? One dear brother told me, he said, I raised my hand. I was going to fast. But he said, I was so sick and taking my medicine when it came to it, I couldn't fast. That's why there's some more need to. You better do it while you're well. It'll be hard later on. Amen. On insulin and the diabetic, if I fast 3 days, I get to where I can't hardly put one foot in front of the other one. I don't want to go anywhere and don't even want to be drove anyplace. And don't want to say much after I get there. Amen. It's tough on old Will to fast. He's a diabetic. But a little bit of fasting can go a long ways for those that suffer the most. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. The Highway of Holiness needs to try one time to see what will happen if everybody will take Monday off and seek God. I mean off from eating. Don't take it off from the regular affairs of life. Comb your hair. Put on your Sunday. Go to meetings. Go to work if you want to. Hallelujah. Amen. But take Monday off. And let's seek God together. Hallelujah. That's not much. That don't mean your dog will have to fast. That don't mean your cow will have to fast. They did in Nineveh. That don't mean everybody put on sackcloth and the babies would be crying because we can't feed them. They did it, Nineveh. Praise God. Is it asking too much? Amen. For saints that'd like to save a city, saints that'd like to spearhead a revival in our time, bless God to pay a small, meager price in seeking God and personal commitment and consecration. Thank God to see what God would do. The Bible said, Nineveh, believe God. They could only scrape together 120 on the day of Pentecost to do what Joel said to do. Only 120 on the day of Pentecost to do what Jesus said to do. 500 people heard it. 500 people saw him after his resurrection. But 120 brought revival. Never was so many people so indebted to so few. They brought revival. They brought Jerusalem 40 years. 40 years of reprieve. 40 years of glory. 50,000 got saved. Hallelujah. The glory did roll. They built a fire in Jerusalem that hasn't gone out yet. Go! If we'll seek God, God will hear us. Hallelujah. Let's stand and ask God to forgive us. We've been so full of doubt, had so full of self-indulgence, and we're so hooked on the flesh that we can't give up nothing hardly. Amen. Let's really build a fire. Every preacher that got up this week felt your fire. Every singer that got up felt your fire. Praise God, it was almost unstoppable. Two nights we didn't even get to start church because the Holy Ghost started it. Praise God. But we need some more miracles yet. We need a far much more reaching meeting yet. Praise God. Not one that's competing with others. We're not competing with nobody. When you fast and pray for all these churches, call all these preachers' names. Glory to God. Let God just use us. Don't be surprised as you seek God if somebody don't use somebody better than us. Sometimes God answers prayer that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who can tell? No promise. Nobody knows. Pretty bad shape when Job preached to him too. Priests, ministers of the Lord. He told him to do something that we rarely tell him to do. He said, stop the wedding. Let the bride go out. Groom. Hallelujah. Seek God. Everybody seek God. Let the priest and the minister of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Clothe with sackcloth. Seek God. Hallelujah. Seek God. I don't care what kind of commitment you make as long as it helps you to seek God. I don't care what you give up as long as it helps you to seek God. I'm not trying to impose any conviction of mine on anybody. If you got some commitment to God, some covenant with God, some vow to God, more power to you. If it's helping you to seek God. But if all it's doing is help you feel exclusive, and feed your religious pride, it's the wrong thing. If all it's doing is bringing division and schism in the body of Christ, it's the wrong thing. Amen. I don't care if Sundar Singh comes to America from India wearing a yellow robe and going barefooted and preaching against the gold that we trust in. He had the goods. Praise God. Hallelujah. It'll work. Try it. Seek God. He'll help you. Seek God. I mean, we're not praying like a boxer for God to help us knock somebody else senseless. We're not getting our heads together like a bunch of football players praying, Lord, help us to bust the others. Amen. We're not praying like a dancer in the Olympics, our skater in the Olympics skating scantily clothed, that God will help us to win. No. 1,000 times no. We live in a day of a corrupted Christianity where people are praying against one another. Praying, Lord, help me to knock my opponent out. Help me to knock somebody pin senseless. Help me, Lord, to win over the other team. Isn't that amazing? One bunch is praying at one end of the field, Lord, help me clobber the others. And the other bunch got their heads together praying, Lord, help us to clobber them.
God don't pay no attention to prayer like that. Mean nothing. Amen. But if we really get down to business, pray, Lord, bless my enemies. And help me to love and to forgive and to forbear. Glory to God. Lord, forgive me of every tendency that's wrong, that's unlike Jesus, and every attitude that's wrong, unlike Jesus. He'll hear that. Let's make us an altar this morning and ask God to help us. Pray that God will help me. I need the help of God. I need the help of God.
To the God of my childhood.
Yeah.
To the same simple faith.
I'm on that
kind. As a child,
I'm always a God.
Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comforts of home. And the God I have reached out to the God of my childhood. Bethlehem, the prophet's Messiah, he's Jesus to me.
Thank God.
Praise His name. I have returned. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith. For the child of her heart.